Our scripture reading for this morning is Romans chapter number 2. I've reached verses 12 and 13. I'll make brief reference to verse 11, the verse I concluded at last Sunday. But I'm going to read the entire chapter of 29 verses as Paul continues to show the absolute necessity of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Romans chapter number 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. May we know the truth of the Word of God better today. You may be seated. I return your attention for this next, oh, so brief period of time, in comparison to the things that can legitimately and illegitimately consume this precious thing called time. And I will leave it to your determination as to what you see as a profitable redeeming of the time given to you by God. But since we last met, what a brief period of time has gone by. And in this brief period of time, I want to return your attention to the Holy Spirit-inspired and infallibly and inerrantly written words of the apostolic servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, and his meticulous defense and declaration as to why the biblical and saving gospel, the gospel that he both declared, wrote about, and defended from its many enemies. Enemies still present today. As to why the biblical gospel is still and will always be the only message from God whereby sinner man can be saved. And we all come into this world as lost, dying sinners. Which is why the saving gospel of God is still needed in 21st century smartphone addicted America. It is still needed in 21st century America and the world, and why every true believer should be thanking the Lord for the biblical and saving gospel of God, the only way of acceptance with God. My hope is this is true of all hearing me and will be even more so by the end of this message. Thanks be to God for the unspeakable gift of the saving gospel of his only beloved and begotten Son. For the passage of 2,000 years has not changed the saving gospel recorded in the Bible, despite the devil deceived and used man's attempt to distort it, change it, and deny it. Nor has the passage of 2,000 years and counting changed the fact that the biblical and saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only message given among dying sinners whereby we must be saved. Truth, Paul clearly and meticulously shows in the section that I am in his letter to the believers living in the capital city of the idolatrous and lost pagan Roman Empire, Rome. And I've reached verses 11 to 13 of Romans chapter 2, having ended at verse 11 last Sunday. And I am returning to the section of his letter where Paul continues to show to anyone willing to correctly hear what he has written under the infallible and inerrant inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, that the saving gospel of God that he infallibly preached and was not ashamed of, may none hearing my few words today be ashamed of the truth he faithfully preached and held forth. But as I return your attention to Paul's showing you meticulously why the saving gospel of God that he faithfully preached is sinner man's only hope and way of acceptance with God, regardless of who you are, regardless if you're rich or poor, regardless if you are male or female, and regardless of the country of your natural birth. May you know the blessing of having been truly reborn of the Spirit of God who illuminated and guided Paul's regenerated mind to write what he does. May you personally believe it and confess it without shame and without apology. For anyone who doubts or gets annoyed at the truth of the justification before the living, true, and only Lord God is by his gifts of saving repentance and faith in the finished work of his beloved and only begotten Son on his glorious cross of penal substitutionary atonement or penal substitutionary death, that the Lord Jesus Christ will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied when he sits down at his glorious marriage supper with all those given to him to die for in the covenant of redemption entered into in an eternity past between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the covenant still being fulfilled in the world today, as seen in everyone who truly confesses that salvation is of the Lord and only of the Lord, And anyone who doubts or denies this truth is simply showing that they have not correctly heard or believed the truth of the saving gospel of God that Paul is so meticulously describing as sinner man's only hope in this section of his letter to the believers in first century Rome, as well as you today, believer. As well as you today, believer, because the Lord ordained that Paul's meticulous description of the saving gospel that he wrote to the believers in Rome would become part of his providentially preserved written word. The Holy Bible, as seen in faithful and accurate translations of it, like the King James Version in English, something that cannot be said of the too many almost Bibles in use in too many churches today, especially those claiming to be Reformed. But that is the truth that will be explored when verses justify that exploration before me in Romans. Friends, remember something. Remember something. When this dying old man, who almost chokes on a cough candy, when this dying old man stands before you, I am not seeking to hold forth before you words of non-inspired men like Muhammad or Joseph Smith, to name just two. But the words that Almighty God wanted Paul to write for your edification and your instruction, believer, regardless of what anyone else thinks or says. For what good is it to your never dying soul if I hold forth words to you of non-infallibly guided men, when the fact of your standing before the living, true, and only Lord God as the individual you are, at your physical death or the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, whichever comes first, these are the coming realities few honestly face. These are the coming realities that few honestly face or show they are facing them incorrectly, because they are not facing them safely and securely, the only way possible, through personal saving and repentance and faith in the saving gospel of Almighty God. In those well-known but not believed words that so many in churches have enjoyed singing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Do you confess? Do you confess to once being horribly deaf, horribly dumb, horribly blind to the truth of the saving gospel of God? But due to the amazing grace of God, you have come to see it for the saving truth it is and alone can be to you as an individual who will stand before God as the unique person that you are. For as I said, I ended my message last Sunday having briefly referred to verse 11 as Paul continues his meticulous revealing of how the saving gospel of God is not just mankind's only hope, but friend, it's your only hope, whoever you are. Do you believe it is? Do you believe it is? I hope you do. For how many people need to apply something that many, even most people have said, for not being omniscient, I can't say this is universally true. But how many people, even lost sinners, say they want to be treated as an individual? I want to be seen for the unique person that I am. Oh, friend, realize that God is going to honor that desire. But he is going to display it in a way, if you are looking at this reality, if you are looking at this truth correctly, namely that God is going to treat you as the unique individual that you are, that it will shut you up to personal saving belief in the saving gospel of God is your only hope of meeting God safely as the unique person that you are. For what does Paul declare is true about the living, true, and only God of the Bible? The verse I ended at last Sunday, but I begin my message today with, verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. The ultimate individualist is Almighty God. The ultimate individualist is Almighty God. For he is not going to curtail, he's not going to suspend, he's not going to stop his unique judgment of you as the individual that you are because you're rich or because you're poor, because of your gender, legitimate male or female, or mythical and perversely fought for over today, or the fact that you were born in America, or a country that many in America would have trouble finding on a map today, despite the amount of tax dollars that have been spent destroying them, places like Iraq, Afghanistan, and now the Ukraine. God is no respect of persons, sinner man. For he is not going to suspend his judgment, his just judgment of you because you are a rich sinner. Is he going to suspend his judgment of Bezos or of Gates because they're rich? Is he going to suspend the judgment of that man on the street who holds out his hand? He's not going to suspend his judgment because you're a weak sinner or a strong sinner. Oh, I can press 150 pounds. I have difficulty lifting 5 pounds. Is he going to suspend his judgment of you if you're a male sinner or a female sinner or all the perversely misnamed male and female sinners seeking to justify their sinful mythological non-genders? Oh, how many people show that their desire to be treated as an individual has been warped and ruined by sin because they don't want to face the truth that the living, true, and only God is no respecter of persons and is going to grant to everyone, dare I say, the right to be treated as the individual you are. And there is a name for this truth. There is a name for this reality. What name? Judgment Day. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But how many lost sinners want to face the truth that the only answer to their individuality as a lost sinner is fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ in true repentance and faith for their individual guilt and sin before Almighty God? The greatest need for any dying sinner on the face of this dying earth, and we are all dying sinners, friends, sinners that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save if he is pleased to do so, is to face the fact of what your individuality as the unique dying sinner you are means for you as the individual you are if you do not flee to Christ alone for the salvation found only in him. Have you? Why do I say this? Because of what Paul is meticulously doing in this section of Romans. He is shutting you up to the biblical saving gospel of God as mankind's, as your only hope of a safe, secure, and blessed standing before God. Why do I say this? Because after declaring that God is the ultimate individualist, meaning God is going to treat you as the unique sinner that you are, Paul goes on to show why you're coming into this world as the unique sinner that you are and are living out that reality unless made a new creation in Christ Jesus by his amazing grace and mercy should be, but isn't faced as the greatest problem every lost, unbelieving sinner needs to face. Friends, our greatest problem is not too many cows farting. Our greatest problem is not too much CO2. Our greatest problem is our sin debt before God.
Have you faced your greatest problem? Have you faced your greatest problem and fled to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the salvation found only in him? Now, why do I say this? Because of that little word. Because of that little word that Paul is so fond of using, showing you again that he and the Holy Spirit, inspiring him to write what he writes, expects those reading what he has written or hearing it preached on, that horrors he wants you to think. And what is that little connecting word, that little conjunction that Paul likes to use so much? It begins verse 11, it begins verse 12, it begins verse 13, and it begins verse 14. Showing you again how God is seeking to shut you up to his saving gospel as your only hope of acceptance with him. And friends, I hope that you come to hear the preaching of the word of God as if you were the only one God was preaching to. Through his word, because God sees your attitude towards his word. God sees his attitude towards his word every time you read it and every time you hear it preached on. How many believers have to say, Lord, forgive me for not listening to the word preached as I ought? Oh, yes, it may be true that so-and-so needs to hear what the Bible says in this verse or that verse, but do you hear the word of God speaking to you and shutting you up to the saving gospel of God through what Paul declares after one of his favorite little words, the little word for, that begins not only verse 11, but as I said, verses 12, 13, and 14? For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Having to leave verse 14 in God's good providence to next Sunday. Oh, how anyone can preach, teach, or believe that the Lord God gave man his written word, the Holy Bible, to show sinner man how he can make himself right with God should boggle the believing mind. Why? First, what does Paul say about those who have sinned without having the law of God as recorded in the Bible? The first part of verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. Now, Paul will expand on the reason for this in verses 14 and following, but what Paul is introducing here is that anyone who has not had the word of God written, declared to them in some way, is going to perish simply because they have not lived up to the light of God. They have not lived up to the light of God given to them by God in his creation. They have not lived up to the light of God given to them in the consciences he has endowed all men with. No naturally born sinner is a seeker after God unless God in his sovereignty first seeks him or her out and brings him or her to a place where he or she hears truth about God and his saving gospel, and he is regenerated or she is regenerated by God to savingly repent and believe and confess and believe that salvation is of the Lord. For no naturally born sinner, and we are all naturally born sinners, lives up to the light of God's creation or conscience. This is why there are so many soul-destroying religions in the world and throughout history. That is why I constantly tell you the saving revelation of God is not a religion. It's the saving revelation of God. It exists in a category of one. The minute you put it in a category with anything else, you've denied it. Man rejects the revelation of the true and living God in creation and conscience and makes idols like himself, as seen in the idols of pagan Greece and Rome. If you've ever studied Greek mythology, these gods are just like you and me. Do you want a God that's just like you and me? And they replace the living God's revelation of himself in his creation and in their consciences and replace God with their soul-destroying idols, even rejecting the right, the light of special revelation that God gives them in the believing people that he calls out of nations. Truth that goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. For Cain did what? He rejected the need for a blood sacrifice, as shown by his parents needing to be clothed with coats of skin, and his bloodless gifts were rejected by God, and he was wroth and his countenance fell. Yet how many show that they are not being guided by the word of God by talking about the noble savage? Have you heard that? Or the God-seeking pagan living up to the light of creation and conscience. Friends, there is no such savage. There is no such pagan. For as many as have sinned without law, as many as have sinned without ever reading or having the Bible in their possession, will perish without law. Why? Because there is no respect of persons with God. As many have sinned without law, will perish without law. Believer, banish from your mind the idea of the noble savage or pagan seeking to live up to the light of God as given him or her in creation and conscience. There is no such sinner. Don't just look at Cain, who not only rejected the witness of God's creation, the witness of his own conscience, but the revelation from his parents for the need of a blood sacrifice. For how many book passage on the ark with Noah? What did the nation of Egypt do to the people of God? They oppressed them and enslaved them as they served their what? Their idols. What did the Canaanite nations desire to do to the light-possessing, law-possessing nation of Israel? Destroy them or entice them to embrace their demonic idols and practices. The myth of the noble savage living up to the light of God's creation and his own conscience is a myth created by men who may even have the truth of the word of God but do not believe what the word of God teaches as to the true condition of mankind without the gospel. Man doesn't become a sinner because he has the law preached to him. The law simply exposes what he already is and displays it in too many ways for me to illustrate. That he is a sinner who suppresses the truth about God declared in his creation around him and in his conscience within him. The heavens don't just declare the glory of God, but they also declare his righteousness. The storms, however God has decreed for them to be poured out on this world, are not a testimony to man's goodness, but man's sinfulness. The wonder of the saving gospel of God is he wants it preached to those who are not seeking for him, but the exact opposite. For if man by nature was a true seeker after God, the last thing he would do is perish. For God does not forsake those who seek him. And please don't try to tell me that the United States of America or my native Canada are Christian nations. Christian nations don't endorse and teach an unbiblical and false anthropology and what is taught in the public schools in America and Canada, a false anthropology, a false understanding of who man is. Don't tell me the United States or Canada are Christian nations. Christian nations don't teach human history incorrectly and inadequately. Not only with respect to origins, but also with respect to the attitude of the nations of the world to the truth that the old covenant nation of Israel was uniquely given the law of God. This truth did not have the nations of men surrounding Old Covenant Israel, flooding into Israel, wanting to know the truth about the living God, but the exact opposite. They persecuted the people of God and tempted them to follow their false gods and false ideas. For among all the nations of the world prior to the coming of Christ, who alone had the word of God? The nation of Israel. But as I said, what did the nation of Egypt seek to do to those wanting to worship and serve the Lord God alone? They sought to oppress them. They persecuted them. And unless the Lord had not brought the waters of the Red Sea over Pharaoh and his armies, they would have killed them and re-enslaved the people of God. Apart from Rahab, how many of the Canaanite nations were longing for God's people to come and show them the revealed word of God to them? How many of you took history courses in the public schools of America? How many of you were told and taught that the only infallible history book you have is the Bible? No man has lived up to the light of creation or conscience. And what has the history of man been towards the truth that God's people, that true believers in God have the unique, infallible, and inerrant written word of God in their possession? Sinner man without the Bible will perish, not only because he rejects and rebels against God's testimony to himself and his creation and the conscience he is endued. All who have been born are being born or will ever be born. But what is the record of the Bible? In human history, man, unless regenerated by the sovereign mercy and grace of God, does not want the written word of God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. Man has been so warped and ruined by his sinfulness that he doesn't want to face his true condition in sin, as seen by his obstinate rejection of the testimony of God's creation and his own conscience. And when he is told that he will perish, he continues to reject the truth of the word of God unless regenerate, and he persecutes and even kills those who are declaring this truth to them, as we heard of earlier today. Never forget, believer, that it was a capital offense to have a Bible in your possession during the wicked reign of the Emperor Diocletian. It was a capital offense to have the Word of God in your possession and not turn it over to be burned. Friends, what if possession of the Bible became a crime in devil-blinded America? How many professing believers would turn them in without batting an eye? Hold on to the Bible or be cast into prison? Hold on to the Bible or be shot? Are you crazy, man? Yes, I am. God, give me the grace to be willing to die for this book, because it's the book that reveals my Savior. Oh, the folly of men when he continues to reject the light. Creation, conscience, and when men come before him with the word of life. How many believers were willing to die rather than turn over a copy of the scriptures to this truth-hating tyrant? Oh, believer, when Paul declares the truth, for as many as have sinned without the law, that is without the special revelation as was given to Old Covenant Israel, commonly called the Old Testament, and is given a New Covenant Israel, the believing church, and is called the New Testament. Don't be tripped up and deceived by those trying to make you think that the saving gospel of God is not mankind's only hope by their spouting of the lie. What about the innocent, neutral, God-seeking heathen or pagan who doesn't have the law of God, the special revelation of God? Is he or she going to perish because they never had the Bible in their own language? No. But they are going to perish because they have not lived up to the light that God gave them in creation and in their consciences. And they show this truth clearly by the reaction when the truth of the Word of God is held forth to them, unless they are reborn by the Holy Spirit of God. Friends, get your understanding of human history from the Bible. Not the warped and false views of human history taught by sin-blinded men today. The gospel-believing church holds the biblical gospel forth to all men, regardless of social position, gender, or ethnicity, because it is the only answer to the wide road to destruction that all men are on, regardless of their social position, gender, or natural ethnicity. But notice second, that the last thing Paul is doing in this section, as I showed in the previous messages, nor is it the reason that God gave us his wonderful and unique written word, is for sinner man to use God's written word as the guidebook, as the way of showing him how he can save himself. Apart from the glorious saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation and a right standing with God by faith alone. Why do I say this? The last part of verse 12 and verse 13. Looking at the last part of verse 12 first, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, as Paul will go on to expand on later in this chapter, in chapter 3, he's primarily but not exclusively referring to the old covenant people of God, Israel. To the nation of men who were uniquely given the law of God as shown in the books that are commonly called the books of Moses. Especially Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. For what does the book of Exodus reveal? It reveals the Lord uniquely giving his written word to who? The children of Israel. And what does Paul say about those who have been the recipients of such revelation? Not that they will be saved by keeping it, a true impossibility for sinners, but they will be judged by it. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. The last thing the law of God was given to old covenant Israel for was as a means of justifying themselves before God. Because what did the Lord God know? Even as his people were ignorant of their inability to keep it, while they are at the bottom of Mount Sinai breaking the law that they were given in the making of the golden calf, what was Moses doing? He was on the top of the mountain receiving the law for the tabernacle, the priesthood, and the sacrificial system, pointing forward to the only high priest and sacrifice able to make his believing people acceptable to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Believer, it's not hard to know if you are speaking to someone who has heard the law but not understood its purpose. The millisecond the person gives you the impression or clearly states that he or she sees their keeping of the law as their means, as their way of acceptance with God, you know you are not talking to a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But someone who will perish if they do not forsake their flawed and filthy self-righteousness and flee to Christ as the only way of acceptance with God. Why do I say this? Well, apply the little word for at the beginning of verse 12 to the last part of verse 12 as well, which Paul does by the use of the word and. For as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Once a person has sinned, even having the law of God, even having the Bible in their possession, even reading and studying it themselves, once a person has sinned, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, But once you have sinned against the law of God in thought, in word, or in deed, the absolutely last thing the law of God will do or can do, it will never do it, it can't do it, it is a true impossibility, it is an illegal use of the law for a sinner to think he can use the law of God as a means of justifying himself before God through his flawed, inadequate, and rebellious keeping of it. For although I differentiated sinners into rebellious and religious sinners last Sunday, by rebellious sinners meaning sinners who have no desire to follow the law of God, but boast in their rejection and rebellion of it. Where do you see that today? But religious sinners are also rebellious sinners, but not in the same way. Religious sinners are rebellious sinners because they refuse to face that there is only one thing the law of God can do once they have broken it. All it can do is condemn them. It can never justify them. The law was given for the knowledge of sin, not for the justification of the sinner. Not by the law as distorted and denied by lost religious men who hated Jesus for exposing their distortion and denial of the law of God and their misinterpretation of its depth and breadth. Don't tell me that I'm guilty of breaking the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, by my surfing the internet for pornography. Don't tell me that I'm breaking thou shalt not kill by giving the finger to that jerk who cut me off in traffic, not knowing the reason or reasons why he did. Oh, friends, the Lord God is the ultimate individualist. And if you were honestly facing that he is, you will be crying out every time you sin, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner who needs thy justifying mercy found only in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. For what does every religious but lost, self-righteous, rebellious sinner need to face when he or she sins against the law of God revealed in the Bible? For let me make this as personal as possible. Who will the Lord be able to call as witness against you if you have not fled to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for acceptance with God in true repentance and faith? He will be able to call his law as witness. He will be able to call his law as witness. Not the continually changing laws of religious and rebellious men. Today this is sinful and tomorrow it will not be. But calling what used to be seen as clearly wrong and sinful is now the unforgivable sin in sin-loving America. But God's law will not and cannot be changed because it is the law of God who cannot change. Because change means one of two things, improvement or decline. God is eternally perfect, so his law is eternally perfect. And to use his law in a way that he has not ordained for it to be used, namely thinking that you can use it to make yourself right with God, is an illegal and an unrighteous use of the law of God. The law of God that God can use to judge you, sinner, on that great day. You sin against the light that the Lord has been pleased to give you out of and from his written word, and that written word will stand in judgment against you on that great day as you stand before the Lord. As the individual, unbelieving, unrepentant sinner that you will stand before God as if you have not fled to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. My law, I call you as a witness for or against this man. Did this woman hear that he or she should have no other gods before me? Yes, they did. Did they have other gods before me? Yes, they did. What is your judgment, my law? Guilty. My law, I call you as a witness for or against this man. Did this man hear that he was not to make any physical misrepresentations of me? Yes. Did he misrepresent me in some physical way? Yes, he did. What is your judgment, my law? Guilty! My law, did that man hear that he should not covet? Yes, he did. Did he covet? How many lotteries in America? Did he covet? Yes, he did. What is your judgment, my law? Guilty! Oh, friends, how many lost sinners are there in America and the world and in the churches in America and the world? They have heard the law of God. They have heard the word of God in some form and have rebelled against and do not believe that they have broken his law. So they stand condemned before him because they have broken. You sin once. You sin more than once? I know I've sinned more than once. I mean, no embarrassment, but have you sinned more than once? If you've sinned more than once in thought, word, or deed, the law is forever cut off as a means of your acceptance with God. Oh, the sinful, sin-stained self-righteousness that will take all lost religious sinners to hell because they refuse to face what they're not keeping the law of God perfectly means. It means that there is only one thing the law of God can do: condemn them. What true blind fools are all lost religious sinners thinking that the law is a means of justifying themselves before God? Because what does Paul say is required if a person is going to use the law as a means of justifying himself before God? A true impossibility for a number of reasons, not the least being it makes the greatest work of God, the saving of his sinful people through the death of his beloved and only begotten Son, unnecessary. As Paul wrote to their foolish believers in Galatia who were giving their foolish ears to demonic works-based anti-gospel teachers. Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. For what is required by those who hear the law of God, and how many, even in lost pagan America, have heard the law of God in some way, but what is required by those who hear the law, if they dangerously and foolishly think that the law of God is the way, is the means of justifying themselves before God, as the means of standing accepted before God as the individual they are. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Notice there are four definite articles in this one verse. Not the hearers of the law will be justified before God on that great day, but the doers of the law shall be justified before God on that great day that no one can miss. Hearers and doers are plural nouns. What are nouns? They describe a person, a place, or a thing. In this case, a person, doers of the law of God, not just hearers of the law of God. How many have heard the law of God but are still on the wide road to destruction because they foolishly and dangerously think that their hearing and flawed keeping of it is enough to make them acceptable to God? But notice, hearers of the law, not the laws of man that he redefines and changes to coincide with his ever-increasing depravity and lawlessness, but doers of the law. What law? The law of God is revealed in the Bible and correctly expounded on by the infallible exegete of the law, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not just the law of God is defined by the Lord Jesus Christ and his chosen apostles, but doers of the law. Doers of the law of God, as defined by the Lord Jesus Christ in his written word, the Holy Bible. You want to justify yourself before God through the keeping of the law? Then you need to be able to present to the thrice holy God a law keeping that his holiness and righteousness alone can accept. What level of law doing, of law keeping is required for a sinner to be accepted by God apart from the one mediator between God and man, the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the doers of the law shall be justified. What level of doing the law is required to be justified before God without the Lord Jesus Christ standing between you and God? An absolutely pure and perfect doing of the law in thought, in word, and in deed. No breaks because you're tired. Oh, how often. I'm sorry I said that because I'm tired. No, forgive me because I shouldn't have said that. I sinned. No breaks because you are tired, with no time outs because you are frustrated at how your life is going. No breaks because your flesh rises up in annoyance because of something someone else has said or done, even to you, or because the sin that so easily besets you gets the best of you. Amen. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Why did the prophet Isaiah cry out, "Woe is me," when he was given a sight of the thrice holy Lord God in heaven? Isaiah 6:5. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah knew how he had misused his lips was enough to condemn him before the thrice holy God. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4? "If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Fearful because of the forgiveness the Lord extends to those who know that it is impossible for them to stand before God on the basis of their flawed and totally inadequate keeping of the law. Why? Because what does every believing sinner know and confess? Believer, you know. You know you cannot provide the perfect and pure righteousness that is required for anyone to be able to enter the presence of the living, thrice holy Lord God safely and securely. But what are you doing, believer, if you are a true regenerate believer in the Lord Jesus Christ here today? You are not looking to your doing of the law to justify you before the living God. Because if you are looking to anything you have done, anything you are doing, or anything you think you can do to make yourselves right with God or contribute to making yourself right with God, I warn you before the all-hearing God, who I will stand before as an individual, even as you will. You are not saved. If you are looking to anything you have done other than Christ Jesus alone and his perfect righteousness, you're not saved. And how many in the churches today are not saved? Why is God going to accept you? I went forward. Why is God going to save me? I raised my hand. Why is God going to save me? I signed that card. Friends, those are all physical things. You can do every single one of them and still be lost. As a preacher once said, that's evangelical sacramentalism. What's evangelical sacramentalism? The idea that by doing something physical, you save yourself. What's that hymn that was so often preached at Billy Graham's evangelistic services? "Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." And if my knowledge of that hymn writer is correct, she was paralyzed. She was in her bed. She couldn't raise her hand. She couldn't go forward. "Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." How many lost, rebellious, religious sinners are looking to themselves and not to Christ alone for acceptance with God. Every true believer knows that they need a pure and perfect righteousness in order to stand safe and secure before God, but they know that such a pure and perfect righteousness is not found in themselves. It will never be found in themselves, because what do you know, believer? You know you haven't been a perfect and pure doer of the law of God, but you don't plead your flawed and imperfect life before the holy throne of God that you will one day stand before as the individual you are. You plead the perfect, pure, sinless, substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did always those things that pleased his heavenly Father, even going all the way to his cross of penal substitutionary death to save you, believer, from your life of imperfection and sin. You plead the perfect substitutionary perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spot, to make you acceptable to the living, true, and holy Lord God today, tomorrow, and every day. The God of your salvation is pleased to give you until you die, or the Lord Jesus Christ returns faultless to stand before his holy throne, not clothed in your filthy and inadequate works, but the finished work of Christ that will make you acceptable before God on that great day you cannot miss. And that finished work that will make you acceptable to God forever. The Lord Jesus Christ, my righteousness, by faith and by faith alone. How many will stand unjustified and not acceptable to God because they have rejected the only one who can justify a sinner before God, both now and forever, the Lord Jesus Christ? What will the Lord say to you on that great day? For justification by faith alone and the finished work of Christ alone is not one saving message among many. It is the only saving message of God whereby we must be saved. Whose work will you be confessing on that great day to make you right with God? Christ's or yours? There is no third option. Let us pray. Oh, Lord our God, how we thank you for removing the blindness from our sin-blinded eyes to see the truth of why you gave your law, that we might see our great need of the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, have mercy on the many we know, that if we were to press them, they would say they're basing their hope of heaven not on Christ alone, but on something they've done. Oh, Lord, deliver them from their self-righteousness, because that self-righteousness will take them to hell. Have mercy on them, Lord, even as you have had mercy on your people in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.